So, Aidan, Van Harps are looking into a fixture this coming weekend against Longford. It will be the first of their last three home matches of the season. And I suppose going into that game, Aidan, from a club point of view, there's a bit of a good feel after two wins on the bounce in recent weeks.
Yeah, we anybody who saw the match on Friday, Oisín will have seen how well the team played. We don't have a particularly good record down in, at Lone, but you know, to score four goals down there and to control the game from start to finish. We had a tough summer, if we're being honest. The long travel seemed to catch up with us a bit, but we had a good win here against Cove. I have to say the supporters were fantastic in that match, and if we could get a good atmosphere now for the remaining home three games, that would be just, you know, it makes all the difference to the players. I say it all the time. So, yeah, good win here against Cove. That set us up. The lads went down with a bit of confidence to Athlone, and everybody was delighted with the performance. So now we're facing Longford on Friday. It's you know, everybody's remarked this one of the toughest first divisions in a lot of years, and I think that can be seen from Longford beating Bray on Friday. So, you know, Bray had been on a fantastic run up to then. So they're a decent outfit, but as I said, hopefully with home support now, we can go in with a bit of confidence. So we hope everybody comes out and gets behind the lads. And, you know, it's six games to go, three home games, as you say. So it's really, really important now. We can't emphasize how important it is for people to come out and support.
Yeah, because there is, of course, an effect when people are coming through the turnstiles and the big numbers are there. It obviously helps the coffers. You mentioned about it was a difficult summer. It was a difficult summer off the pitch as well, with a lot of games away from home and no, I suppose, big major fixtures at Finn Park. It was sort of difficult all round, so it was, Aidan.
It was, Oisín, you know, to be honest about it, we had you know, the last couple of years, it's unprecedented the amount of travel. We just are not budgeted at the moment for overnights. And the problem with overnights is that the players, you know, they have to get up early in the morning time, and then what do they do between then and kickoff? And do you stay two nights, or what way do you work it? But with obviously increasing costs of accommodation and all that, that's just not something we can do at the moment. So, but they've been, the players have been fantastic. I can't speak highly enough of them. You know, to play Cork, for example, they were having breakfast locally at 7 o'clock. Then they were down in the bus, facing a professional side and up the road again. And, you know, it's a matter of them, you know, sticking together and, you know, keep believing in what they're doing. And they've done that, you know. Nobody's on big money there. We've got a lot of local lads in the team who are very, very committed. We see the commitment that they put in, and, you know, they are worth supporting. And we've gone with, I suppose, actually, we've gone with a different model. You know, the year we were relegated, we had a lot of players from outside the county, and we were trying to compete with the increasing amount of clubs now that have private ownership, and it's a difficult thing to do. So we had to really look a bit more long term and get younger players on longer term contracts, and we're seeing the fruition of that gradually. This week, for example, Sean Patton, who was with our academy, he's on loan from Derry with us at the moment, and of course, Aaron McLaughlin playing for Ireland under-19s. We'd our keeper for the last two games, Oisín Cooney, 17-year-old, came up through our academy. And then you've got, obviously, the likes of Gavin McAteer, Kevin Jordan came through our academy. Kevin did brilliant for us on Friday as well. So it is a bit more of a longer-term project, but we believe in it. And, you know, we've got guys there like Tony McNamee. Tony's just an exemplary captain, is just tremendous off the pitch as well as on the pitch. So things are a challenge at the moment. It's getting tougher every year with rising costs and trying to compete with privately owned clubs. But so we will have to have a look at this, you know, the actual model of the club in terms of ownership, and speak to our shareholders and supporters about that in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, you know, it's about sticking together, and we would love to get into the playoffs. We're just 4 points now behind Bray. And if we keep the form up that we've shown the last two games, there's no reason why we can't be in there.
Yeah, well, but by the sound of things, Aidan, and the way you're talking, that Harps have to reassess basically where the direction they're going to go in the future, because the way the league is changing and the way ownership is changing amongst clubs, Is it fair to suggest, by the way you've talked, that if Harps don't do that, survival off the pitch and the club survival is going to come under question?
Well, I think so. I mean, Oisin, if you look at, you know, the club since, you know, since its beginning, and up to the time we became a co-op in 1996, I mean, I was supporting the club. The amount of clubs that went out of business around the league, and it was just, it's just a phenomenal story of survival, how the club survived up to that. And then from 1996, of course, we, you know, we issued the shares, became a co-op, and it was just a fan-owned club that's non-for-profit, everybody's, you know, volunteers. And again, from then till now, an awful lot of clubs went out of business, and just through sheer really good work, really smart work, we managed to stay in senior football. But what we've seen now in the last 10 years is an unprecedented number of private ownership clubs. You look at the two clubs that finished ahead in the first division, who ran away with it last year, Waterford and Galway. They're you know, they've taken on backers. Cork City, who ran away with the league this year, their owner has basically said he's put an awful lot of money in last year, and they, even with that, they got relegated, but they're on top this year. So then you have clubs like Treaty, Drogheda United. There's another club about to be announced. So it's you know, Shamrock Rovers, for instance, have a model of 50-50 between fan-owned and private. So it served us well, the fan-owned model, Oisin, and it's got us to this point, and thank God we're still here. But the challenges are getting bigger and bigger every year. There's rising costs. We, of course, we don't rent our ground like a lot of clubs do. So the maintenance is an issue as well. And the income streams, you know, we have tremendous support from local sponsors, from our 500 club members, from the season ticket holders. But there's always a gap every year. And it's, where do you grow revenue to fill that gap? And other clubs have basically said, look, they needed to consider a different model where either you take on an investment or you do something with your shares. So it's got to be something we look at, and I think we, you know, we will go out and speak about it with our shareholders and supporters in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, you know, to give you an example of the extra costs, apart from obviously the costs, the rising costs every business has, and you know, the last couple of years, there's the wages now have to be paid through November as well. Now, we don't begrudge players that, but it does mean that we have to go find it by not having any gates coming in. And we have to raise the money between now and then just to make sure that we cover those costs. And then we are prepared to, you know, prepare for next season, all of the pre-season costs, and look at putting a squad together. So, you know, to that end, we need people to really support our draw. We have at the moment, and get tickets on finharps.ie and come to a match. Or any way they can support us. So, you know, it's a thriving club in a lot of ways. Oisin, we have, you know, the women's teams that came on stream, the under-19s and 17s, are getting some great results. I thought would take longer for us really to compete, but they really are surprising us, and they're putting in huge effort. Our young players came back with success from the Galway Cup, two of our teams. Then you have obviously the 17s and 19s, and then we have a full-time community officer or football responsibility officer, Steve McNutt, who's doing fantastic work with a number of organizations around the county. So really is a lot of work going on, and it is a very dear club to a lot of people in the county. So it really is, where we do we take it from here, you know? And of course said it has enormous potential, and we want to look forward to a future where we are in the Premier Division. We are playing Shamrock Rovers and Derry City, and we are competing with those teams. So all those discussions have to be had. But in the meantime, you know, we've got to come out of 2024 in a healthy financial position, and we need people's help with that.
Okay. Has there been any expressions from private owners, from equity groups, of maybe investing in Finn Harps in recent times?
We had a couple, Oisin. You know, you have to be very careful. People are aware of the bad stories out there. we spoke to a few people and we didn't break the shareholders. Oshin didn't. We have a process where we obviously asked for their business plan ahead of terms, and they didn't get to the second base, you know, and we didn't, you know, feel following research that they were the kind of people we're looking for. There's some tentative inquiries now and then, but we haven't really put the message out. I suppose, Oshin, you know, we haven't really come out and said we're prepared to look at some kind of structure where it's either partly fan-owned, partly privately owned, or something like that. But I think we're, in the last couple of years, and looking at our accounts, as our shareholders will know, we're really dependent on people just pulling rabbits out of hats more and more every year. As I said, we have extraordinary support from our 500 club members and supporters and local sponsors. So now it's time perhaps to look at something else, so that we can really offer an environment to, you know, the young talents we have here locally. And, you know, that includes looking at our footballing model as well, because obviously you have, you know, in the Premier Division, they're all professional teams now, and they're doing that because of private investment or with the help of private investment. So we definitely are open to anybody who wants to talk to us.
And yeah, there's a sort of a warning on this as well, Aidan, because it doesn't always work out. I suppose we could use Dundalk this week as a prime example of it.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important to do due diligence from both sides, you know. And you know, when somebody comes in, there's obviously Fenharps has an ethos. As I said, so many clubs have gone out of business since I've started supporting Hushin. It's incredible. And League of Ireland is a tough gig because there is no broadcast money, and you know, your gates cover at Harps over a 10-year period, our gates cover maybe a quarter of what we spend, you know, and the rest has to be found. So anybody coming in can't have any illusions either. So there's got to be a lot of honesty on both sides. Now, we've spoken to, there's a lot of good people in the League of Ireland, spoke about their processes. And then when we're happy to, you know, if we did speak to people, we would then bring it to our shareholders, who would make the ultimate decision. But, you know, at the moment, we don't have those offers. But we certainly have to discuss the, you know, where we're going to go as a club, so that it can reach its full potential, and we can give the environment, you know, to the players, so that they can, they don't have to move to another club, you know, in the country if they want to reach their full potential. So, you know, we're kind of lucky in a lot of ways, Oshin, in that it is a huge name, it is a big brand in Irish football, and Donegal is seen as an attractive place. So we've a lot more going for us than some of the clubs, people would think, that have got private investments, and there is a really energetic volunteer base here as well. Yeah. But as I said, you know, everything we've done so far has served the club, but times change, and now we have to look at how we take the club into the future.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of pressure with it, Aidan, because obviously it seems to be that this could be a direction that Harps may be forced to go in, by the sounds of it. Can you take your time with this, or is Harps' financial situation going to allow you time before a proper decision is made on it, Aidan?
I think that if we look at it short term and long term, we need to take our time. I suppose we haven't had an approach or an offer yet. I suppose what we will look to do in the coming months is have that discussion with our shareholders and see what's out there and see who's interested. And then that obviously takes the time as does due diligence. In the short term, we need to increase our revenues. I mean, every week in the newspaper on Facebook, you know, you hear about businesses that are talking about the rising costs. We've been really responsible. We run the off-pitch work is incredible because we run it on a skeleton budget, and none of the directors are paid because that's part of the co-op rules. And we have great people who come in and help us with this and that. The first team budget, despite the grueling travel schedule, our players, our first team budget is very responsible. Darren has come in, you know, And just to offer our condolences to Darren this week on the passing of his father. You know, Darren came in, we were doing well at the break, for example. We would have liked to have been in a position like a lot of clubs were doing, was going to their managers, which is normal during a transfer window. The clubs with private backers could go say, look, is there two or three players out there who would bring us into, you know, into a very competitive position coming for the run of the season? You know, we weren't quite in that position to do that. And, you know, we're happy to trust the younger players that we're putting in there. But, you know, it wasn't really a choice in the end. So, yeah, we need to, in the short term, Oisin, between now and the end of the season, we need to really get support in terms of just coming to matches, supporting our draw, and join the 500 club any way people can help us out, because the cost base, you know, has increased in terms of operational costs, facility costs, and then the cost of squad because of the extra month you have to pay players up until November, following, you know, the rules put in by the FEI and the TFEI last year.
Where are we at with the stadium and all this, Aidan? Because obviously if Harps are going to consider taking on private ownership or a percentage of private ownership, if the club's going to move forward, where does the stadium come into this? Because the role of the ball of the stadium from all those years ago, we seem to be getting a bit of traction with it. Then there's a hold up, then there's more traction, then there's more funding set to be coming, but it never gets to a stage, Aidan, where you're comfortable that this is going to happen, if that's fair to say. So in the bigger picture, with everything moving forward in the future of the club, where's the stadium at?
Well, it's central to what we have to do, Oisin, because we've been told that, you know, Finn Park isn't viable in the long term from a licensing point of view. And, you know, certainly the facilities, whether it's the floodlights, just electrics, plumbing, everything, you know, you could throw good money after bad. And we have to obviously we adhere to a certain standards and safety standards and all the rest. So it is central to what we're doing. It's just been it's been deeply, deeply frustrating, Oisin, because obviously stadium, you know, when you're asking families to come out, you're competing with a lot of things. You're competing with everything because during the summer in particular, there's an awful lot of different attractions around. So you want to put on a kind of match night experience. Now, it's great to see. We have loads of kids coming to our games, which is great to see, and there's a good atmosphere. But we'd like to maximise all the work that's been done out in the community in the last 10 or so years. The kind of blockage of it for different reasons, but a lot of it will obviously come down to money and the rising costs again. Now, it's not something I'm going to go into deep dive, because it's something we're going to update in detail in the coming months, but it is absolutely central to everything we're doing. And, you know, if we are looking to grow the club, and if we are looking at the possibility of changing the model and getting the help of private investors, that will obviously be very important too. But it is very much a live project, and there's ongoing talks with the department. And obviously, with rising costs now, we're looking at what is the final spec of the stadium. And because there's so many different partners in it, and the department, the FEI, the Donegal County Council, architects, and the contractor and the subcontractor, it does take an enormous amount of time for things to go back, but we do hope to have news on it soon.
Okay, I know that you have to raise a certain amount of money, Aidan, as well, if you are able to draw down what is coming from the government. And we're speaking here today as well that you're trying to raise money basically to keep the club going and try to put it into a healthy state. So you seem to be bombarded by all sides from it, Aidan.
Well, you know, it's never been easy. Actually, like League of Ireland football, you know, it's certainly a learning curve and a shock to the system when you come inside it. I mean, when I was outside, I used to think, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it's always been a struggle for League of Ireland clubs. And you speak to the other clubs, and it's the exact same issues come up. I know that there was a presentation done by Will Clark from the FEI to the government to say, look, you know, it is worth investment. It is worth putting money into it, because the benefits, not just the sporting benefits, but the community benefits are massive. And we know that, you know, from, you know, everything from wheelchair access to offering people who just want better facilities to come watch a football match. And you can grow a lot of community, and it will help the local economy too. So it does need investment across the board. Oisin, you know, as a sport, it's the biggest participation sport in the country. But at the top level, the rest of Europe has moved on, and we're looking for, you know, what's the likes of Van Harp, Sligo Rovers, Bohemians. What we're looking for is very small compared to European standards. But it is, you know, it comes down to then volunteers, like our volunteers, to try and deliver what are massive projects to the, you know, to the county in our case. And yeah, it's very challenging, you know, and but we believe in what we're doing. We know, you know, at ground level, I see the fantastic work that goes in there. I see the feedback from the community groups that we're involved in, and the amount of the amount of social good and social interaction that a club like Harps can bring. And the biggest thing, I suppose, actually, what we're saying is that, look, you know, for any kids growing up, they're seeing a live action, they're feeling part of something, they're feeling part of a community. They're not just watching football on television, and that can only be healthy. And you're getting the young elite footballers to, you know, you're giving them a platform to go up the levels. And some of them, you know, will go on beyond Finn Harps. And we would love to see, you know, we had the two boys representing us at under-19 level this week, and we're very proud. Hopefully, you know, it's not too far away, we'll have a male or female player who's come through Finn Harps represent the country. But yeah, it's enormously challenging, Oisin, but we believe in what we're doing, and we do need new people to come to the table now and, you know, help us out with bringing it to the next level. And yes, that does mean a new stadium, and that does mean coming up with a financial model. And so it's all about a short-term plan to get us through till December, and then the long-term discussion on where the club goes from here.
Okay. There has, of course, been many a challenge for Harps over the 7 decades that the club has been in existence, but there's been some really, really enjoyable times as well, and the club are going to mark the 70th anniversary coming up next month, Aidan. It was announced this week that you'll be holding a gala event, a grand gala dinner, honouring the legacy of loyalty and 70 years of Finn Harps.
Denise O'Neill and Joey O'Leary, who actually served on the board, organising that with a few others. And it's just going to be a great night. Actually, everything is quite helter-skelter from the inside. So many people have helped the club over the years. And, you know, it's just such a huge achievement. While clubs from big cities have gone to the wall, that Finn Harps is still standing, still proud. You know, despite the financial challenges we just discussed, It's a thriving community and full of young people. And that's testament just to the amazing work from lots of salespeople to stewards to program sellers to fans to everything. And I know Denise and Joey just wanted this to recognize all those people, and of course past players and all that kind of thing as well. So I know they plan on making it a really fun night as well. And so yeah, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, Aidan, you've got lots to do. So you have off the pitch as you continue to face the challenges that the club are staring at the moment. But we thank you for taking the time out to talk to us, and the best of luck in the game against Longford on Friday.
Thanks, Oisin. Just a reminder that people get tickets for the match and tickets for the draw on funharps.ie.